Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, we'll have reaction to last night's federal election results. We'll hear from a director with the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association. We'll also hear from the president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities. Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting has provided her weekly overview of the wheat market summary. You will hear that coming up on today's program. As well, neighbors helping neighbors is the Saskatchewan way, especially in rural areas. We'll hear the story of a couple from Scott in west central Saskatchewan who are having a difficult time right now as one of their children has cancer at a very young age, and we will tell you about that. All that and more on today's edition of GX in Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Eric Weglars from Precision Weather. And Eric, it's mainly sunny here in the Yorkton area today and not much wind, and the temperatures are probably about average for this time of year.
Yeah, they are, and a fairly nice afternoon for most of us across the area. We'll take it. Again, we're inching closer to fall and closer to when the snow flies. So we'll take whatever good weather we can get at this point before it gets a little bit cooler, if you're a fan of at least late summer, that is. This afternoon, we will finish off with a great deal of sunshine. Highs right around 20 Celsius, winds from the west at, say, 15 to as high as 25 kilometers per hour. The winds will be the story coming up here the next couple of days. We'll discuss this in a second. It's mainly clear tonight. I think we'll find a very decent night outside. Lows around 6, winds from the southwest at 15 to 25 kilometers per hour. So again, a decent night outside, all things considered. We'll do the sunshine again tomorrow. The temperatures, though, a good deal warmer than what we see today. We'll call it 26 for the afternoon high. Winds comparable to what we saw this afternoon. Now, the clouds will begin to increase later on tomorrow night and into the day on Thursday. There's a low that'll pass inevitably to our north here. We're not expecting any rain out of this, but you'll notice there's a wind shift as we go into tomorrow night and Thursday. With that in mind, we're expecting the winds to increase later tomorrow night into Thursday. Lows are expected around 11, and the winds will be blustery, 25 to 35 kilometers per hour, gusts even higher than that, and that'll be the case on Thursday as well. Clouds will increase as well. We'll have some clearing late as this disturbance basically cuts us off to the north here, but the winds will still be blustery even through the late evening hours. We're expecting sustained winds between 35 and 40 kilometers per hour, and the gusts could be as high as 45 or 50, so you'll notice this as you're out and about on Thursday, and the temperatures, too, are a lot cooler than the next couple of days, only at 19. Good news, though, Friday into the weekend does look a lot brighter and a little bit warmer, too. We're expecting highs between 15 and 25 as we go through Saturday and again on Sunday as well. And the good news, like I mentioned, we are expecting a good deal of sunshine as well and for conditions to be dry going forward here through the second half of the week into the weekend.
That's Eric Weglars from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw and Roblin are at 15 degrees, Swan River and Shoal Lake Russell 16, Dauphin and Brandon 18. Regina, Broadview, Mooseman and Indian Head reporting in at 18 degrees, Saskatoon is at 19, Hudson Bay, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 17. The Yorkton-Melville region now has a partly cloudy sky, a southeast wind at 9 kilometers an hour. 41% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 18 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of just 17 degrees and dropped to a low of 5 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 15 degrees. The normal low is 3 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 6:34 this morning, and it will set at 6:51 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was a tie between Cypress River and Carberry, which both got up to 20 degrees. The cold spot was Thompson at minus 1 degree. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Leader at 20 degrees. The cold spot was Rosetown at minus 1 degree. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. A director with the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association isn't surprised by the results of yesterday's federal election. It saw the Liberals retain power as a minority government once again. Jim Wickett farms near Rosetown.
No, not a big change, and quite honestly, not really shocked by these results. I thought maybe it might be a little bit tighter minority government, but this just turned into a $600 million vanity project. We could have, as I seen on Twitter today, we could have done this by email.
What's the reaction on Twitter from the farming community?
It's kind of entertaining watching some of the conservative versus PPC finger wagging and finger pointing, and that seems to be the anger is turned inward on that issue. So, like normal, Twitter's just a kind of an angry place.
Is there a lot of memes?
Yeah, and a lot of, like you said, a lot of finger-pointing to the fact that I think it's, I've heard anywhere from 7 to 11 ridings where PPC affected the outcome, where it could have been a Liberal, or a Conservative over a Liberal.
And where did that occur?
I think there's one in Edmonton, one in the Maritimes, and the rest are central Ontario.
How do you expect the federal government to approach agriculture this time around?
You know, I think it's going to be more of the same. We've got a fairly kind of activist agenda that's going on there. I expect the ag minister to get her job back, and not really much of a change on that front. We're going to see that the carbon tax, continue to climb, and that is going to affect producers in a big way in the West. It doesn't affect as much in the East, simply because they have the population, they consume a lot of their products right locally, where we have to ship, and we are on the world market. So that's where we're going to see our losses.
Is your focus going to be getting producers credit for the work that they've done in terms of carbon sequestration already?
Well, yeah, I think that's certainly going to be one of our focuses. We've been on this. Just before the COVID shutdown, I guess 2 years ago now, we were in Ottawa just exactly on this issue, and we'd had some numbers that we had a fellow work up for us and showed, how much carbon sequestration there was. And just kind of deaf ears, it was kind of like, well, it's already done, so that's too bad. And, I guess, it's similar to Canada's position when it comes to the carbon worldwide to our Paris Accord, is when we switched all the power plants earlier on, in the early 2000s, we got zero credit for those. And we have all these countries around the world consuming coal as fast as they can get it into their country. So that's kind of disappointing, and I see much of the same when it comes to locally with the ag. I don't see them budging much because it's a, you know, it's a urban government, very urban government, and they're not too receptive to listening to us.
The new business risk management programs for farmers need to be negotiated between Ottawa and the provinces by 2023. What would you like to see?
Well, when it comes to safety nets, we kind of observe those from a distance. They can really consume a lot of horsepower, and we, as our group, just doesn't have that kind of like a checkoff to have a person dedicated to that. So, I mean, they seem to be focused on the ag stability point, which, you know, out west is down to 30 or 35% participation. And it's just not a program that works well and responds well. And when it does respond, it's literally 20 months after the issue has happened. So if you don't have good legs to stand on to withstand 20 months of waiting for your money, then you're going to be in a bit of a hurting position. So, I mean, we've said all along we'd rather see some changes, whether it's in crop insurance or some of the existing things that are there. Let's morph those into something that is really responsive, especially in like a drought situation like we've seen this year. Let's get something like that going and work from there. Ag stability has just turned into a bureaucratic monster, whether it's, you know, your local accountant or whether, you know, it's the all the bureaucrats that work in that area. It's a bureaucratic monster. Those big numbers that they throw around, a big percentage of those are used up in administration, and it's kind of a waste of taxpayers' dollars.
And how have producers been coping with this year's drought?
Well, I think it's cleaning things up is the biggest thing. You know, from a grain standpoint, it's get things off and get it there, and whether you're marketing it. I mean, markets are quite good right now. So even if you didn't have much of a crop, it's still worth something. The cattle guys, you know, I think they're still going flat out trying to secure feed. I know there's, I talked to two yesterday that said they think they have enough now. They're really close, hoping for not a extended 35 below winter, but they'd be real close to having enough, but still looking and still working to get that in and making plans of what they're going to do and when they're going to market some of their calves or maybe cull some older cows out of the herd. So those are, I think that's mostly what's going on. Once that's all done, I think you'll see some guys, you know, whether it's crop rotation or whatever, but they're going to be looking at and anticipating another dry year next year because we just haven't had the recharge of moisture in most of the province yet.
Jim Wickett farms near Rosetown and is a director with the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
A revival of the Hay West initiative, aimed at shipping feed from eastern Canada to supplement drought-dented supplies in the West, has gone live. The Canadian Federation of Agriculture has announced its Hay West 2021 initiative is now operational and seeking applicants to both receive and supply hay. Applicants interested in either supplying or receiving hay via Hay West should visit the program website and provide details. The Ottawa-based General Farm Organization says it has received enough contributions, including funding to cover freight costs, from different parties to begin moving substantial amounts of hay. According to CFA representatives, those include financial donations from the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, the Prince Edward Island Government, and Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. The CFA's program has been on the drawing board since last month, but awaited confirmation of sufficient funding to cover freight costs. The 2021 program will operate on a break-even basis, buying hay from supplies in the east for resale at cost to applicants in the west. The price will be 10 cents per pound for all hay supplied. Round and square bales of varying dimensions will be supplied as available, and net weights of loads will be provided. The CFA's Hay West program is not to be confused with a similar program recently launched by Mennonite Disaster Service to move hay from Ontario to eligible producers in Saskatchewan. Prices for flax have skyrocketed in 2021 as the amount to be harvested has fallen while demand has increased. That's according to Dale McManus of Johnston Seeds in Welwyn. Johnston's was paying $38 per metric ton for golden flax picked up off of the farm, and brown flax was fetching $36 to $37. McManus says flax is not an easy crop to grow, and its stubble is much harder to get rid of than other crops. As well, other crops have proven to be much more attractive price-wise without the difficulties that come with flax. At nearly 1.03 million acres, the amount of flax planted in Canada exceeded 1 million for the first time in 4 years, according to Statistics Canada. Growers in Saskatchewan seeded an estimated 790,700 acres, up 3.1% from 2020-21. Alberta farmers planted 141,600 acres for a jump of 45.8%, while 93,300 acres were sown by Manitoba producers, up 42.7%. However, due to the severe drought and intense heat this summer, production across the region has been estimated at 378,800 metric tons, down 34.5% compared to last year. This would make for the lowest amount of flax produced since 1992, when 336,600 metric tons came off the fields. In Saskatchewan, 268,600 metric tons are expected to be harvested, down 40.7% from a year ago. Alberta has been forecast to reap 62,700 metric tons, which would be a drop of 20.2%. In Manitoba, flax is to edge up slightly by 3.3% at 47,500 metric tons. Canada's incumbent agriculture minister was among the MPs to hold on to their seats in yesterday's snap federal election, in which Justin Trudeau's Liberals returned with a second minority government. Marie-Claude Bibeau won her Sherbrooke, Quebec area riding of Compton-Stanstead by a spread of over 3,300 votes over her nearest challenger, Bloc Québécois candidate Nathalie Bressé. The makeup of the House of Commons is expected to have changed only marginally as a result of the election. Some of Britain's meat processors will run out of carbon dioxide within 5 days, forcing them to halt production and impacting supplies to food retailers. A jump in gas prices has forced several domestic energy suppliers out of business and to shut down fertilizer plants that also make CO2 as a byproduct of their production process. The CO2 gas is used to stun animals before slaughter, in the vacuum packing of food products to extend their shelf life, and to put the fizz into beer, cider, and soft drinks. CO2's solid form is dry ice, which is used in food deliveries. The CO2 crisis has compounded an acute shortage of truck drivers in the UK, which has been blamed on the impact of COVID-19 and Brexit. And that's the AgriView portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's partly cloudy and 18 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. The president of SARM says there's no big surprise in last night's federal election results. Ray Orb says the decision to call the election was not wise and was costly to taxpayers.
Well, you know, I guess it's not really a surprise. You know, we've been watching, all the polls just like everyone else. And, you know, we could see really this election seems like it didn't really prove much. I know there were some seats that did switch from one party to another, but we're still waiting for some of the mail-in ballots to be counted as well. So there might be some more changes, but it just seems like during a pandemic, that wasn't very wise to call an election. Of course, it cost over $600 million. So it just really seems that it wasn't well advised to have an election during these times.
Are you still prepared to work with the federal government?
As always, we do lobby the federal government. Probably some interesting dynamics, I guess, because it's a minority government. It'll be interesting to see, who we can get to as far as helping us lobby the government, in power on certain issues, agriculture issues, transportation issues, some environmental issues as well. In particular, the carbon tax, that'll be interesting to discuss that. Again, with some of the opposition parties. So, yeah, we're ready to go back to work. We're probably not as pleased as we could have been had some outcomes be different, but we see that in Western Canada, particularly in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and a good part of Manitoba, there's opposition to the federal government. So who we're aligned with, I guess in the days ahead, that will be interesting to see.
Do your priorities continue to include infrastructure and improved rural internet?
Yeah, that transportation file, obviously, infrastructure, roads and bridges are the most important to us as far as infrastructure. But telecommunications is important too, better cell phone coverage, better internet. That's been something we've been touting to the parties during the election. We want to see what their action plan is. They're promising more funding, but we want to see what the government in power is actually going to do, after they get back to the House of Commons.
Ray Orb is the president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for October closed at 122.45 today. That's down 32. December live cattle closed at 127.80, down 27. October feeder cattle closed at 156.62, down 5. November feeder cattle closed at 156.95, up 32. October lean hogs closed at 84.37, down 60. December lean hogs closed at 73.60, down 62. And that's the livestock market conditions. Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting has provided her weekly overview of the wheat market summary. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission yesterday afternoon.
Last Friday, December contract Chicago winter wheat closed at 7.07, up 20 cents on the week. December Kansas hardware winter wheat closed at 7.12, up 31 cents on the week. And December Minneapolis hard red spring wheat closed at $9, up 23 cents on the week. There were also some significant purchases and trades in the cash markets. China reportedly bought French feed wheat. Jordan passed on their wheat tender, and Bangladesh tendered on for 50,000 tons of milling wheat. Korea was in for 65,000 tons of feed wheat. And Pakistan is in today for 500,000 tons of milling wheat. We expect an increase in tenders as consumers endeavor to increase their coverage. U.S. export sales of 617,000 tons last week were at the high end of estimates. Basically, cash offers are higher, and we wait to see more tender results this week. Here are some of last week's major news in the wheat markets by major wheat origin, starting with Canada. Stats Canada put Canadian all wheat production down another 1.2 million tons from last month at 21.7 million tons. That's 38% down from last year. Specifically, Canadian spring wheat production was decreased by 800,000 tons from last month to 15.3 million tons. That's just 59% of last year's tonnage. StatsCan put durum wheat production in Canada at 3.5 million tons. down 46% from last year. Prices for durum in the EU are still below the levels that have been paid in North America, but they are still rising and adjusting to the shortfall of durum production in North America. We expect durum prices in import countries will eventually match those paid in North America, as the EU and Mexican supplies will not likely be enough to cover all import needs. At the same time, we do not think prices are likely to exceed our earlier highs that we have seen in Saskatchewan. The United States. The U.S. wheat market is working hard to buy winter wheat acres. There's talk of a 3-5% increase in acres this year. But soil moisture continues to be a low in much of the winter wheat belt. U.S. weekly sales were at a marketing year high of 617,000 tons, and the majority of this were sales to Nigeria. U.S. hard red spring for October 21 is valued at US$413 FOB PNW at the West Coast, up $3 a ton from last week. Australia. The forecast for Australia looks predominantly dry for the rest of September. And although the U.S. estimate of 31.5 million tons was seen as understated, the current export estimate of 22 to 23 million tons does not look to be at risk by dry weather. Australian new crop FOB APW wheat for December was quoted at $320 last week, up $20 from the week before. In Argentina, the forecast shows some much-needed showers for the west and north, but the week afterwards looks entirely dry again, and soil moisture will again be decreasing. FOB values for October Argentine wheat, 12% protein, ranged from 285 to 295, unchanged from the week before. The increase in global wheat prices have allowed Argentine wheat to be competitive with Australian wheat into the Southeast Asian markets. The EU. MATIF week in the European Union spiked by €7 per ton to its highest intraday close in a month. The spike was based on the negative French wheat quality report, the reduction in Canadian supplies, and reports that Russian harvest acres could fall further due to higher spring wheat abandonment. Further in Europe, it seems that French sales of wheat were made into China bases a 75-kilogram test weight, which would normally take 77 kilograms. There were also reports of China buying French feed wheat. French feed wheat is currently the world's cheapest wheat, although it remains well above corn values. If China were to buy volume French feed wheat, this would tighten the S&D in Europe significantly. On to Black Sea wheat. Harvest is now 90% complete. The Russian yields seem to continue coming down to indicate a smaller production in a range of 70 to 74 million tons. Farmers in Russia are planting their winter crops into dry soils as well. However, in the Ukraine, farmers continue to push wheat out into nearby positions to make room for the corn harvest. This is putting a bit of pressure onto the markets. Russian 12% protein wheat for October is offered at $310 per ton, down $4 from the previous week. Regarding movement of Canadian wheat into export position, Shipping Wheat 6 saw spring wheat exports from Canada at 219,000 tons for a season total of 1.75 million tons. That's at 70% of last year's volume. Durum shipments for week 6 amounted to 63,000 tons for a season total of 476,000, 28% ahead of last year. We expect that once shippers have finalized initial harvest period requirements, exports will slow in Durum and stay well below last year's levels. So what can we conclude from all this for the week? We see higher prices develop as wheat supplies continue to contract. the USDA is overstated in the estimates of supply, and in particular in the supply of milling wheat, where consumer coverage is limited. We therefore see no reason to sell more Canadian grain at this time.
That's Marlena Borsch of Mercantile Consulting in Winnipeg. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Neighbors helping neighbors is the Saskatchewan way, especially in rural areas. Jessica Raycraft and her husband Jeff experienced that in March when their one-year-old son Frederick was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor at the base of his skull. The community of Scott in west central Saskatchewan rallied around the young family. Jessica was so appreciative of the assistance that she wanted to pay it forward for other families facing similar situations around the province. Jessica and three other women have organized a fundraising auction called Harvest for Gold. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but first we learn more about Frederick's cancer treatments.
So in March, the day before his first birthday, he was diagnosed with medulloblastoma, which is a brain tumor. It was quite large. It was 6 by 6 centimeters at the base of his skull. After discovery, we had an extensive brain surgery at the Children's Hospital in Saskatoon. Then we started chemotherapy in Saskatoon, so he will have 3 rounds of chemotherapy in the Children's Hospital there. And we have traveled to Calgary for a stem cell harvest, his own stem cells. And then we will, around Christmas here, travel back to Calgary for a stem cell recovery and a high-dose chemotherapy treatment as well. And we will be in Calgary for 2 to 3 months for that treatment.
What kind of support have you received from your local community?
Our community was amazing. As soon as we announced that our son was diagnosed, they stepped up. They did a fundraiser for us to help try and buffer some of that cost. People made meals to help out with that. If we needed help on the farm, the community stepped up. It was just that small town, neighbors helping neighbors, just that everything. We were overwhelmed with the generosity of the community, the support. You know, if we needed help with childcare for our other son, everybody stepped up to help in any way that they could. We were just so blessed.
And I understand you and your family have decided to pay it forward when it comes to the help you've received.
Yes. When we were talking with other families at the Children's Hospital, we discovered that we were one of the rarities. The support that we received from our community, not every family was as blessed as we were to receive the support, either financially or with the help that we received. And that was something that we wanted to pay forward because we were just so blessed. And we wanted to share that with everybody else.
Now, what is Harvest for Gold?
It was intended to be an in-person event, but due to the rising COVID numbers and discussions with the SHA and both foundations, the Children's Hospital Foundation and the Saskatchewan Cancer Foundation, we opted to put it as an online fundraiser this year. What it is an auction, and we will be fundraising for the Comfort Funds. So what the Comfort Fund is for is food vouchers, travel vouchers, if you need money for your tube feed supplies, things like that. It's the over and above costs that are not covered by the health region. And those costs, they add up fast and they can sink a family so rapidly. And so the money is allocated into the foundations and social work is the one that applies for it. Social work is the one on the units with every family. Every family admitted is assigned a social worker. And they're the ones in the trenches on the unit. They know what a family needs. They have those discussions every day at rounds. And they're able to sit there and say, this family needs help with travel. And they can apply to the foundation then if this family needs travel money. And they can apply for that and help that family in their moment of need immediately.
Jessica Raycraft is one of the organizers of the Harvest for Gold online auction to assist families that have children with cancer. I'll have more on the auction itself coming up, but first it's time for the Commodities Update. And that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your RE/MAX Bridge City Realty agent.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed mixed on the nearby months today. November canola closed at $8.60, down 50 cents. January canola closed at $8.54.90, up $1.10. December Minneapolis wheat closed at $8.87.75, down 6.25 cents. December Kansas City wheat closed at $6.90.5, down 9.5 cents. December Chicago wheat closed at $6.90.25, down 10.5 cents. December corn closed at $5.17 per bushel, down 4.75 cents. November soybeans closed at $12.74 per bushel, up 11.5 cents. December oats closed at $5.32.75, up 0.5 cents. And that's the commodities update. We're back with more on Harvest for Gold with one of the organizers, Jessica Raycraft from Scott.
What we're doing with the items is it is a province-wide auction. We are not expecting people to pick up at our houses. We will make arrangements to deliver, or we will mail at our cost. So we are not expecting people to deliver or to pick up. So we will make sure that they are delivered to you guys at our cost. The money is not coming out of the bids to do those deliveries. We're doing it as the volunteers for the organization. And they're all starting to slowly kind of get up there. And more items are being added as they come in, and they're coming up, and they're starting to look pretty good.
What sort of items are on offer?
We have some egg-centered ones. We have lots of, you know, we have some stuff from, like, say some Roundup has been donated by AgriTeam. We have a trucking voucher. We have some massage, some floats. We have some earring necklace set from Hilberg and Burke. We have a gator. We have some little artisan things like a You Are My Sunshine sign. We have some books. We have bows. We have a cooler and a styling lunch kit. We have clothes. We have all kinds of little wagons like books. It's a little bit of everything for everyone. We have gift certificates for Smileys. You know, we've got a little bit from rural, a little bit from urban. There's been lots of support.
I understand you have a number of other people helping out.
Yes. So when we got going on this, we partnered with three complete strangers. There's four of us that are working on this project together. We're from all over the province. I'm from Scott. Cassandra is from Regina. Mackenzie is from Blaine Lake. And Jane is from Saskatoon. So the four of us are working on this. I've only met Jane. None of us have ever met otherwise in person. So we're complete strangers, but we all consider each other friends now.
And will you have stories on this Facebook auction as well?
Yes. So each day we have a separate face of Saskatchewan representing a different cancer. So those families have agreed to share their story and their journey. You can like, comment, and share that post to bring awareness. There's also a memorial post that we are encouraging people to share either their story or their name of their loved one that has lost their journey for cancer, so that we can memorialize those individuals as well, because we want to remember those that have lost their battles as well. Those posts have a door prize associated with them as well that have been sponsored by Viterra and CNH. There's also seven posts that are strictly awareness posts that we're highlighting seven different cancers for education purposes. And again, you like, comment, and share those to be entered to win a separate door prize for those.
Do you see this going beyond 1 year?
Yes, absolutely. We want to turn this into an annual event. A lot of the people that we've approached for donations, they've already said, you know, come back to us earlier in the year. So we're planning on making this an annual event. We're going to start sooner. We really started late. We only started this in August this year, at the beginning of August. So we're really pleased with how well we have done and how far we've come in just 2 months, really. For this year, it's come together so amazing with just four people in 2 months. And we are so excited for what we can do next year, starting it in March, and hopefully get some more people on board.
That's Jessica Raycraft from Scott, one of the organizers of the Harvest for Gold online auction. We'll return after this.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
It's time now for the agriculture weather, and that's a presentation of Ducks Unlimited. The new SCIC seeding deadline for fall seeded crops is September 30th. There's still time to sign up for DUC's winter wheat program. The GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions. For today, partly to mainly sunny, winds west at 15 to 25 and a high of 20. For tonight, clear skies, winds south-southwest at 15 to 25 and a low of 6. For tomorrow, sunny, winds south-southwest at 15 to 25, a high of 26. Thursday, partly sunny, winds west-northwest at 35 to 40 and a high of 19. For Friday, a mix of sun and cloud, a high of 15. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 23. In the Paw and Roblin, it's 15 degrees. Swan River and Shoal Lake Russell, 16. Dauphin and Brandon, 18. Regina, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, 18 degrees. Saskatoon is at 19. Hudson Bay, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 17. The Yorkton-Melville region has a partly cloudy sky, a southeast wind at 9 kilometers an hour. 41% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 18 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. Your news and sports headlines are next.